Mr. Jones is particularly important in those negotiations.
Appreciate your effort, and taxpayers appreciate that. And I also like to thank Councilman Wilson and Councilman Phillips for being involved in this project to help figure this out. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Old business, Mr. Lang, will you come forward, please?
We have three items of old business this morning. First one being change of zone number 1691, the application of Linder & Company Incorporated, care of Andrea Fenerowski, to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a GR general residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, land lying northeast of Old Mill Road, also known as Road 349, and 450 feet northwest of Railway Road, being Road 350, and to be located on 34 acres, more or less. On November 10th, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing, November 10th, 2010. There was a motion and a second, and the application was deferred for further consideration. On December 9, 2010, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1691 for Linder & Company Incorporated for a change of zone from AR1 to GR based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the parcel is currently divided between AR1 and GR zoning. This rezoning will bring the entire property under a single GR zoning classification. Two, the rezoning is consistent with neighboring and adjacent properties and the uses which include other GR zone lands and MR zone lands. Three, the rezoning to GR will allow the property to be developed with a uniform development plan that is consistent with the type of uses that surround the property. Four, the rezoning to GR is consistent with the county's comprehensive land use plan and the purposes of the GR zoning district. And five, letters of support have been received from the various homeowners associations within Bethany Bay, and no parties appeared in opposition to the rezoning. Therefore, there was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried with four votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons stated. That motion carried 4-0. Mr. Ross was not voting since he was not present during the public hearing. Council held a public hearing on that application on November 16th of 2010. Attached to my report, the commission recommendations, there's also a memo relating to all the applications and includes a copy of the minutes of council meeting of November 30th, 2010. That's all.
Okay, we're just voting on the change of zone at this point.
Considering the change of zone.
Right, I'll make a motion we adopt the change of zone.
Second.
1691.
We need to read the title.
Yeah.
Okay, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to GR general residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 34 acres more or less.
I'll make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
Second. I have a motion and a second to adopt the ordinance. Any questions on the motion? I will take the vote. Mr. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole? Mr. Deaver.
On the motion to adopt?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
To just get any reasons?
Yeah, I have some reasons. I'm in concurrence with Planning and Zoning Commission's reasons.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes. I think it's compatible with the area. We have GR and other zones in the immediate area. So I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips?
I'll vote yes as well, based on the recommendation of Planning and Zoning. I consider it infill as well.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes on the recommendation of Planning and Zoning.
I also vote yes on the recommendation of Planning and Zoning, and it does, in fact, go with the area. So motion carried.
Second application is conditional use number 1849. Again, the application of Linder & Company Incorporated, care of Andrea Fenerowski, to consider the conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily dwelling structures. to be located on a certain parcel land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 48.3595 acres, more or less, lying at the northwesterly corner of Railway Road, being Road 350, and Old Mill Road, being Road 349. Just for informational purposes, the parcel we just rezoned was about two-thirds of that, this same track. It was had mixed zoning between AR and GR. In reference to this application, on November 10th, the Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing. There was a motion, second, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. On December 9th of 2010, the Commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the Commission recommend approval of conditional use 1849 for Linder and Company Incorporated for multifamily dwelling structures based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use is appropriate for this site because residential development of this type is appropriate where central sewer and water are available. Sewer will be provided by Sussex County and water will be provided by Tidewater Utilities. Two, the development is on a property that is currently zoned AR1 and GR with a recommendation pending before council to rezone the entire property to GR. Multifamily dwellings are appropriate for GR zoned land and they will be consistent with neighboring properties and uses that include other MR and GR zoned lands and single and multifamily developments. Three, the proposed use is consistent with the county's comprehensive land use plan. Four, the project will be served or benefited by amenities which include a clubhouse, pool, playground, volleyball court, basketball court, tennis court, and walking trail paths. Five, with the conditions placed upon this recommendation, there will be no adverse impact upon traffic or the neighboring area. Six, no parties appeared in opposition to the project, and it is supported by several homeowners associations within the nearby Bethany Bay community. Seven, the development is consistent with the general purpose of the zoning ordinance and that promotes the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of Sussex County. Eight, the proposed density is less than the maximum density permitted in the GR zone. Nine, this recommendation is, however, subject to the following conditions. One, the recommendation is conditioned upon the rezoning of the entire property to GR general residential by county council. What you just did. Two, there shall be no more than 200 units within the development. Three, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's determination. Four, recreational amenities shall be completed within the project as follows. A, community center, clubhouse, pool, playground, and courts shall be completed on or before the issuance of the 50th certificate of compliance occupancy. B, multimodal recreational facility shall be completed on or before the 100th certificate of compliance or occupancy. Five, the development shall be served as part of the Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Six, the development shall be served by a central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by applicable regulations. Seven, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these fixtures. Eight, no wetlands shall be disturbed except as authorized by state and federal permits. Nine, interior street design shall comply with or exceed Sussex County standards and shall include sidewalks or multimodal pathways on one side of all streets with street lighting. 10, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. 11, the applicant shall consult with the local school district's transportation manager to determine if a school bus stop is appropriate. 12, construction site work, excavation, grading, and deliveries to and from the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. 13, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan for the development. Landscape and lawn maintenance shall be the responsibility of the developer or the condominium association. 14, for excavation of the large pond at the center of the development, which has similar characteristics to a bar pit, the following conditions shall apply to protect the neighboring residential properties and roadway. A, no dredging shall be permitted. B, water or a water truck shall be available to construct dust, to control dust when conditions require. C, no materials shall be brought from off-site for processing, mixing, or similar purposes. D, a construction entrance for the excavation operation shall be established and maintained in good condition. 15, the final site plan for this development shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District. 16, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. With a motion and a second, carried with 4 votes to forward this application to County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 4-0 with Mr. Ross not voting since he was not present during the public hearing. And the council, again, the public hearing for council is on November 16th of 2010.
Any questions from council, Mr. Lank?
No.
If not, Mr. Moore, if you'll read that.
Yes, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 48.3595 acres, more or less, subject to the following conditions. Those are numbered 1 through 16 on pages 6 and 7 of the old business handout that Mr. Lank gave, and the same ones he read into the record.
Okay. Make a motion we adopt the ordinance, conditional use ordinance 1849, Linder and Company.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any questions?
With the condition.
With the conditions. Any questions on the motion? Now we'll take the vote in. Please state your reasons. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes, I vote yes for the reasons given by Planning and Zoning Commission and with the conditions stated.
Cool. I'll vote yes. It meets our density calculations. It's in compliance with our county engineering department's determinations, and it is compatible with surrounding types of development.
Mr. Phillips?
I vote yes based on the recommendations by planning and zoning. It offers economic opportunity to the county.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes on the same reason that P&Z did.
And I also will vote yes based on recommendations of planning and zoning, and it does fit in the area very well. It's the same general thing down there. So, motion carried.
The third and last item under consideration of old business is conditional use number 1867, the application of Lawson's Produce LLC to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a mulch facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, a parcel containing 2.2 acres. More or less, lying east of Route 5, south of Railroad, and 1,700 feet south of Route 9. On this application, the Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on October 28th of 2010, and the Commission deferred action for further consideration. On November 10th of 2010, the Commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1867 for Lawson's Produce LLC based upon a record and for the following reasons. One, the use of the mulch facility will benefit the citizens and the environment of Sussex County. By recycling tree trimmings and other tree materials, there will be a reduction of materials going to the landfills. Two, the use with the conditions placed upon it will not adversely affect the neighboring properties or community. Three, the use is adjacent to the applicant's family farm, which has been in operation for many years. The use is consistent with agricultural operations as confirmed by the Delaware Secretary of Agriculture. Four, the use promotes the conservation element of the county's comprehensive land use plan, and it is consistent with the AR1 zoning of the property. Five, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. One, the use shall be limited to a mulching facility only. There shall not be any composting permitted on the site. No lumber, stumps, or construction waste shall be accepted at the site. Two, the applicant shall install a 6-foot-tall solid vinyl fence along the westerly boundary of the mulching operation, screening and separating the operation from adjacent neighbors. The location of the fence shall be shown on the final site plan. Three, grinding and dyeing or processing hours shall be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Four, there shall be no grinding or dyeing operations within 100 feet of any neighboring property line. The area set aside for grinding and dyeing shall be shown on the final site plan. 5, there shall not be any mulch storage within 20 feet of any neighboring property line. The area set aside for mulch storage shall be shown on the final site plan. 6, the applicant shall control delivery of wood and tree materials to the site. Acceptance hours will be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. The site shall be gated so that after-hours deliveries or dumping do not occur. 7, sales and delivery hours will be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days per week. 8, water shall be available to control dust and for fire prevention within the site. 9, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second carried with 3 votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. Now that motion carried 3-0. Mr. Ross and Mr. Burton were both absent.
Have a question, Mr. Lang?
So I remember from testimony that the Lawsons objected to 3 of these conditions.
Mr. Lawson at the public hearing before council objected to almost all the conditions.
2, 6, and 7, from what I'm your report
and the
says.
Council asked Mr. Abbott, who was in attendance at public hearing, to do a comparison of the conditions based on what the commission's comments were and what the Mr. Lawson
said. Yes, you did that here.
And that is attached at the end of your mm-hmm. report.
I got a question.
Cole?
Number 5, Lawrence, there was one concern from a neighbor, and it was a residentially used property. So you've got something in here wording just says neighboring property lines. Is there any consensus here to maybe we address that there should maybe a greater setback because they have 100 feet for mulching and dying or something, grinding and dying, but from neighboring properties that are in residential use as opposed to just neighboring resident, you know, neighboring property lines, which could be anything going on there. But so I'm just concerned about the stockpiling of some of the material, and odors do come from it. You see things, and I just thought, is there any consensus, folks, to try to address residential used property?
I think that was the intent. The closest properties affected by the mulch operation were in residential use.
Right.
There were 2 lots off the side. The rest of it is pretty much farmland.
Right, I know it. I don't 20 feet just doesn't seem like it's like between you and me here.
You would be suggesting on number 5 inserting neighboring residential property line?
Well, yeah, but I would also like to increase the 20 feet just in that area. It was only like one little spot. I don't think most of the neighboring property lines have a problem, but I just think it is insensitive if we don't address maybe the stockpiling of this stuff so close. 20 feet is, like I said, between you, a guy, me and Sam here.
Is that the same line that is
number 5
recommending a fence?
No.
No.
That's a difference.
There's no fence there. The fence is somewhere else.
It is the location of the solid vinyl fence.
There was also a solid vinyl fence.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why they kept it.
I don't know. I just think, you know, maybe 50 feet or something would be a little bit better to stockpile it just in that location.
Can we eliminate the fence if we go 50 feet?
No, I think the fence is going to be helpful too. I mean, to protect residential uses, I mean, I think it's a residential neighborhood. We have to balance the protection of residential people in these agriculture residential districts and the agriculture. It's called AR1, agricultural and residential. So we just can't side with one group. We should try to balance it off. And I think it showed on the site plan plenty of room. So if we could just make a minor adjustment there, it'd probably be helpful.
No, I don't agree. I don't think that they should have to put the fence up. I've been out there to look at the operation. It's a good, clean operation.
No, it is. I haven't said that.
That would be number 2, which relates to the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So the fence is behind there?
And that purpose there was to satisfy the neighbors mm-hmm. who have residential mm-hmm. use. Now I believe it's 2 that are affected by it the most.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Mr. Schultz?
It references that it's actually adjacent to 176 acres of farmland.
Mm-hmm.
From the area number 2 is related to the adjacent neighbors,
okay.
which
yes,
are the residential lots that are adjoining.
As I say,
facing Route 5.
In the bold number 2 discussion, it references 176 acres of farmland. I guess really it's not your, you're not intending to buffer the farmland with a fence.
Pole number two was Mr. Lawson's response.
Correct.
Right.
But it's still, are you disputing his response?
No, so there is a farmer, but there is two adjacent single-family lots, at least that are on Route 5. And that's where the intended fence was to go.
What is the length of the fence?
I'd have to, let me pull the survey.
Vance, why don't you just put after adjacent residential neighbors, separating the operation from adjacent residential neighbors? That solve that problem. I'm just trying to protect.
I hear you.
That's Main Street.
The fence is only on this, the west side of the property, right?
Which is Main Street.
Narrow side to me. I mean,
that's downtown.
Downtown
Street.
There you are.
It is.
Hold the wrong survey. The immediate neighbor that was impacted, and it references the western side, majority of that 155 foot would be actually Mr. Lawson's property where the produce stand is. And then the additional 74.31 feet is the area that's next to David Tchaikovsky.
I don't have a site plan in front of me, but in your opinion, does the additional 30 feet that Mr. Cole was suggesting in any way restrict or limit Mr. Lawson from pursuing his operation here?
You mean the 30 foot?
Yeah, I was just thinking 20 feet was not enough, maybe 50 feet, and be just adjacent to the residential used property.
I don't think that you're talking about a car length versus two car lengths and a half.
Right, that's just saying.
So basically, I look at 20 foot being a parking space, and that's a car length, basically.
20 foot car?
No, I'm just saying, if you look at a parking space and just say,
times two.
Two and a half.
Cars typically 16 foot.
Mm-hmm. Would there be any objection to taking away the words a vinyl fence? A stockade fence would serve the same purpose.
Why don't you say fence and let them do whatever they want?
Yeah.
So if you use a stockade or a solid fence, then it's up to Mr. Lawson whether it's wood or whether it's vinyl.
Right. And in an agriculture area, it may be more appropriate anyway.
I don't think you should have to put one up.
You don't think you should have to put one up?
No.
So you think going 50 feet without the fence is fine?
Sure.
Mr. Cole, you want to talk to your
caucus? No, I'd say she's allowed to have an opinion.
So you're saying
I don't usually listen to it, but I just all right to have one.
Mrs. Beaver is suggesting elimination of number two, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah,
right. No, I think we need to do a couple of little things. I think, like he said, a couple parking places wouldn't hurt. That's all I'm changing on it. I'm not trying to have any dramatic change to it. I just think a little more than 20 feet, maybe.
In a rare moment of agreement with Ms. Beaver, mm-hmm. I would agree. Do you believe that going from 20 to 50 is necessary?
No.
No? All right.
So which let's do this. Which of the conditions is there concern about by council?
2, 6, and 7 for me.
2, 6, and 7.
So what's wrong with 7?
So you want to strike 2, 6, and 7?
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that.
I don't either.
Okay. 3, 6.
And the other, Mr. Cole was concerned about number 5. Use the word residential and change it from 20 feet to 50.
That's all I wanted to change on it.
Right.
I don't think
50 foot is a typical buffer from other activities when you're related to mobile home parks, campgrounds, you know, that type of thing.
Doesn't seem excessive to me.
You know.
I'm in agreement with Ms. Deaver that 20 is fine. Gives your consensus.
But you,
I think it's a great thing. I've been president of council for a month. And I've got fans and Sam and Joan on the same page.
What's that word? Kumbaya?
You don't have a clue how much I've done in my time. Right now.
There's your moment, Ron McCarthy.
Under your administration, we've come a long way.
I'm done. Okay.
But there was a reference earlier to add a word residential into number 5 to read there shall not be any mulch stored within 20 feet of any neighboring residential property.
That's number 5.
Being
Well, if that's mooted now, I mean, the word residential is moot. The word residential now is moot.
It seems that way. I mean, just it seems.
Okay.
What is mulching? What is
mulch storage?
A pile of mulch? Yeah, what is mulch in here? It says, you know, it says no lumber, no stumps, none of this stuff, none of that.
People ain't chips.
She's using a natural, non-treated product. You could go out with lumber and end up with some nails in it, and you never know what's in it.
He wouldn't want to do that. He wouldn't want to use nails if he was going.
He wouldn't want to. I'm saying some mulching operations do mulch
everything
on
lumber, for example, and it could be some nails in it, staples or whatever.
Well, that has something to do with the customer. I don't see what that's got anything to do with his neighbors or anything.
Mr. Lank, do you have the amendments or the things we're going to strike here?
If I understood correctly, there was a reference, not a motion, to strike number 2.
But that's got nothing to do with it.
Number 6 and number 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And two.
Is that a motion, Mr. Deaver?
Yes, it is.
Can we look at 6 and 7 real quick, please?
Sure, we can.
Okay, we're gonna strike 6 to eliminate the time.
They can sell it 24 hours a day.
Okay.
7 days a week. Yeah. I'm glad I live there.
Yeah, sure. I'll do with you, Mike.
We have a motion, Mrs. Deaver, to strike the conditions 2, 6, and 7.
Main Street.
We have a second. We have a second. Mm-hmm. Question on the motion?
I mean, we're also striking number 2 as well.
That's correct.
You did that, Drew. Okay.
We're striking number 2, 6, and 7 of the conditions placed by planning and zoning.
Well, so what size of stump is that going to be on number 1?
I don't think that really matters to you.
Well, it says ours. It says stumps.
He doesn't take stumps.
You can take small stumps from much of
them. He doesn't take them, he says.
Mr. President, there's a motion on the floor just concerning 2, 6, and 7.
To address these three things.
God almighty. What about
We'll call for the vote.
Yes.
Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
To call.
We're voting to what? To change the...
We're voting to remove conditions 2, 6, and 7 from planning and zoning recommendations.
No, I support the planning and zoning's recommendations.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote no. Motion carried. Now then, Mr. Moore, if you would read the heading with the...
New conditions. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a mulch facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 2.20 acres more or less, subject to the following conditions. Number 1, the use shall be limited to a mulching facility only. There shall not be any composting permitted on the site. No lumber, stumps, or construction waste shall be accepted at the site. Number 2, grinding and dyeing or processing hours will be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Number 3, there shall be no grinding or dyeing operations within 100 feet of any neighboring property line. The area set aside for grinding and dyeing shall be shown on the final site plan. Number 4, there shall not be any mulch storage within 20 feet of any neighboring property line. The area set aside for mulch storage shall be shown on the final site plan. Number 5, water shall be available to control dust and for fire prevention within the site. Number 6, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Need a motion?
You got it.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve. CU 1867 with the
six
conditions as read by Mr. Moore. We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, and it's a good, clean operation, and it serves the community. And I'm saying yes with the conditions as read.
Mr. Cole.
I was supportive of the application, except for just a little minor detail there. But at this point, I don't think it's appropriate because of the proximity to the residentially zoned property, which has been there, and which is also Main Street. And so it lacks the protections for this permit, which is actually a conditional use permit, is allowing us this activity, which is not typically permitted in that zone, 7 days a week. And I just think it was... has too much of a negative impact on the residential uses in the immediate area. I'll vote no.
Mr. Phillips.
I'll vote yes with great deference to the council member opinion who represents that district, Ms. Deaver. I think the planning and zoning conditions, which were ultimately amended by council, are appropriate to protect the area, and this certainly, again, will help the economy.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes. On the same, on the recommendations of planning and zoning and our amendments.
Okay. Also, recommendations of planning and zoning, they put the stipulations they thought were necessary. I would agree with those. I vote no. Motion carried 3-2.
Thank you.
Grant request, Mrs. Webb.
Thank you. Just one today. Teen missions. Steve.
Was that two particular council person?
Yes.
How much are they looking for?
Well, they're not looking for a specific amount, but on these type of grants, we've done anywhere between $200 and $600 for a teen to go and do a good deed.
Well, I would say $300 from my account.
Okay.
Make a motion.
A motion for $300 from Ms. Deaver's account to the teen missions for Hannah Faye Costello. Have a second.
Second.
Have a second. Take the vote, Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Introduction of the ordinances, Mr. Moore.
There are none.
Additional business brought before council, there is none.
I do believe there is a gentleman that would like to speak. He wasn't aware of the process. Mr. Walsh, could you sign that before you come up, please? Is that okay?
Sure. Go talk about council stuff, right?
All right. Take the floor.
Hey, Lawrence, stick around. I was going to ask some questions about the tower there at the 18th. I'll just clear that up now that we've had a change.
Do what?
I want to. No, I was just telling Lawrence not to leave.
Sorry.
That's all right. While we're waiting.
Yes, sir. You have 3 minutes, please. Help
okay.
Yourself.
Thank you very much. My name is Matt Walsh. I host a morning show on WZBH right here in Georgetown. So as a member of the media, I have to be kind of plugged into local stories and stories that we hear frequently. I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball at you. It's not a very fun subject to talk about or an easy one, but I think it's one that should be within your purview. If I'm to understand, we've talked about how close people can live to windmills and mulch. Well, I'd like to talk about something a bit more dangerous than that, sex offenders. Like I said, a curveball, I know. But there have been lots of stories, and we see stories every day in Sussex County and in places on Delmarva of sex offenders who are victimizing children and women. We know about the high-profile cases, the one in Lewis, we know in Salisbury. I know that's not Sussex County, but I guess my question is, at what point do our local officials, local government, decide that it's time to go to the next step? It's time to take another step to protect the innocent citizens of this county who are now under a threat. If you've ever looked at the Delaware Sex Offender Registry in some of the towns in Sussex County, there are hundreds of not only sex offenders, but high-risk sex offenders. A high-risk sex offender is someone who there's a very high likelihood that they will offend again, which means that if you're a woman or a child and you come in contact with this person, it's highly likely that this person will molest or rape you. That's what it means. The person that did that horrible thing to Sarah Foxwell was a high-risk sex offender who was allowed to live in the town. I guess my question is, and you know, I wasn't able to get the exact ordinances of other towns, but I was able to, you know, I have some news stories here of other towns that have banned sex offenders effectively from living in the town altogether. And I guess that's what I'm asking, if that can be done. And there are ways on, you know, to do this. You can basically, however close sex offenders can now live to children, you can expand that by a large distance. Expand it by 1,000, 3,000, 5,000 yards. Do something that forces them to leave here so that they can no longer victimize the people in this county. So I guess it's more of a question than anything else. It's what can be done? What will you guys do? And if there's ever a time when this subject should be broached, it's when the guy that did that to Sarah Foxwell and when the doctor scumbag, whatever his name is, those guys are right now in trial, you know, So now's the time to talk about this. How can we stop this from happening again?
Okay, thank you very much.
It's not on our agenda. We're not going to discuss it.
Okay.
I don't think
we can do anything.
Place on the agenda?
Maybe Everett ought to address the man. I mean, just through zoning, how do we do it?
One of the things that, and again, we've discussed as a procedural matter, anytime that something is brought up, that it can be placed on the agenda for discussion at a later time, because this was not specifically on the agenda, and any of the council persons could put it on. And I would need to research that issue, what kind of things you could do, frankly.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Talk to you privately if you'd like to.
Anything else from council?
Oh, yes. We had this cell tower. Lawrence, might as well come up here a minute. I've had numerous complaints about this because it's down in the Bethany area, and I was easy to find and corner. And my understanding is it was just... run it through, because Witzel dropped me off a letter here, and I think he maybe gave you one too, but anyway, basically...
I just received it this morning.
Okay, heard. Anyway, it just basically, the first application got passed and approved, but then it got challenged, and we lost it in the court system, right? And then we permitted a temporary structure because they made an application, which is a policy we have it in your department, right? Basically.
With advisement from one of the county attorneys.
Because county attorney said, okay, a county attorney advised us then to do it. So now that it's over, the unit there is not approved, just a temporary unit that doesn't meet any kind of standards or any kind of anything, right?
It was done at the beginning of the summer
for
the purpose of the need for a cell.
So my question is, we've had this opposition. The opposition seems to have come out on top of this argument. So to help the opposition at this point, they've spent a lot of money, and I guess it's now it's in our ballpark to address that temporary unit.
The letter was sent yesterday morning to advise AT&T that they need to remove the tower.
Did we give them a time? Temporary.
I have a copy of it.
Okay.
Just on yesterday by the inspector.
Okay.
But to go back from the start, there was an application before the board to build a cell tower.
Right.
The cell tower was at the Arby's facility, Arby's and a convenience store that are connected together just south of Bethany Beach. It went through public hearing and board adjustment. It was granted. There was an appeal on technicality. It went through court, and the technicality pointed out it was a matter of a couple foot off the site when the advertisement sign went up. So that's technically it wasn't on site, so that's what basically sent it back to the court, sent it back.
Right.
AT&T reapplied, or let me back up. They put up a temporary while they were in the process during the appeal because it did have an approval. It was rejected through the courts or reversed and sent back to the Board of Adjustment for rehearing. They reapplied. They withdrew it for some reason. Then they re-advertised. We re-advertised and they reapplied again. And it was scheduled for next Monday. And on Friday, they withdrew it.
Okay. The only question I think Witzel, or the opposition's attorney, has brought up is when we granted the, when they got the first denial and they reapplied, And they put that temporary one in there. You're saying because it was approved by the Board of Adjustment, they put it in, but they weren't approved for that temporary thing. They were approved for this other tower, which they never built.
They
so
were permitted.
Is there a question? That's what I'm saying.
While they were in, because they had the approval and they were in the process of going through court proceedings, they may have to take it down.
Well, that's what. So Rick said that
temporary.
Okay, I know, but it even though what the approval was for the big tower, they gave the approval wasn't for that temporary. Anyway, okay, but we do have some, and could you check and see if there was a time sensitive? Is just not to say we'd like you to remove it.
Any time we notify them that it's a violation has to be removed. It's given time. It could be 10 to 30 days.
Okay.
Typically,
okay.
Not even more than that.
Because there's a lot of energy.
Typically, if they do reapply, then any action is stayed based on council policy.
So if they reapply again, we'll let the temporary thing stay there again?
It could stay up unless the attorneys advise me different.
Well, Everett, I wouldn't mind you looking at that, because the approval was not for this temporary thing. The approval was for a tower, and they put something in that's not at the public hearing or anything.
I'll be glad to take a look at that. I'm meeting with Mr. Burrell at 2:30 this afternoon, and I'll bring this up and discuss
it. Just seems that the playing field doesn't seem like even, and you got, again, you had a lot of people, and they spent money and time, couple court cases, and a lot of money.
And in defense of the staff who did post that sign, typically you go into a new site, not a site that's already occupied by a convenience store and a fast food restaurant. And the sign was placed like 3 or 4 foot from the property corner, mm-hmm. when there wasn't any property corner, but that happened to be where it was. And the site that it was placed on was all wooded.
Right.
And it was just assumed that that was the site. Looking at a paper map, it's hard to get perfect sometimes, but right. it was non-intentional minor error, but it was an error, and the opposition used it, and the courts upheld it.
But they've now, at this point, withdrawn, so I think we need to... Right.
And it was, as I said, it was withdrawn Friday, and I'm sure it could only be a temporary withdrawal, because they may reapply again.
Right.
But
my question is, how can we permit something that is not... It's not like the guys operate in this business and we allow it to continue to operate. What they're putting there is not what was approved.
The approval was for a large cell tower.
Right.
And since they were in a process of litigation and the need for the cell communications, they asked for permission to place the temporary up at that same location. And to advisement, it was permitted.
My question would be, could the attorney challenges on permitting that, which was not part of the approval?
It could.
As I say, we lose again. And I guess the first, once it was pointed out that the sign was posted on the wrong property, the county attorney should have said, whoa. But no, we went on, we approved it, and then it went to court. We spent money, the neighbors spent money, the applicant spent money. It was just a lot of money spent.
Yeah, so you want a different county attorney?
I don't disagree.
Well, no, I'm just saying I think it was a wrong decision. And I don't know if this, I'm just questioning whether leaving that temporary thing there as a policy or something, right. or whatever we do, is, again, setting itself up for another court case, which we can't defend.
Which you have sent them a letter to.
They have, as of yesterday, there was a letter sent advising them to be removed.
Right. So I'm going to our chief attorney. Chief?
But I can find it.
The pirate down there.
Anything else from council?
I have one question. Last week I asked about the adequate public facilities ordinance workshop.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that, are we underway with that? Are we looking to have a workshop? Is that what I understood?
I think Dave's trying to have we have
several draft ordinances mm-hmm. that have been used as or presented as examples of mm-hmm. what we could consider. Mm-hmm. And I know Mr. Godwin's been working on this, and so we will schedule that in the near future.
We will schedule it?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Anything else from council?
Make a motion to go into an executive session.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Mm-hmm. Have a motion to second adjourn. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Thank you for your time.